It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson is about to become the first Black woman confirmed as a Supreme Court justice. The full vote is expected early Thursday afternoon. Barring any surprises, the vote will be 53-47. That's 50 Democrats and 3 Republicans. Even more significant, though, is the fact that for the very first time in history, white men will not be the majority on the United States Supreme Court. The only downside of all this is she won't become Justice Jackson and take her place on the court until this summer, at the end of the term, after Stephen Breyer officially leaves. World leaders gathered at NATO headquarters in Brussels again on Thursday to discuss additional sanctions against Russia and ways to support Ukraine. Despite Moscow now shifting its strategy to the east, NATO's chief said the war could last years as Russia still wants, quote, the whole of Ukraine. On the ground, major fighting is underway in the east with regional military governor of the Luhansk region urging civilians to evacuate some towns. President Zelensky said that hundreds of children have been killed in Russian airstrikes since the start of the invasion. He also referenced the mass graves found in Bucha. Meanwhile, Polish President Duda said, quote, it's hard to deny that Russian forces are committing genocide in Ukraine following the images that have surfaced this week. President Biden on Wednesday condemned what he described as major war crimes by Russian forces in Ukraine, and he announced an executive order banning new investment in Russia. These latest sanctions targeted 2 of Russia's biggest banks and 2 of Putin's daughters. The European Union is reportedly considering tightening sanctions, including a ban on Russian coal imports. How about a ban on oil? Because that's what's funding this war. And the ruble, which had collapsed at the beginning of the invasion, is now back up to its value before it plummeted. What are they waiting for? The UN General Assembly is set to vote Thursday on a proposal to exclude Russia from the UN Human Rights Council. As to President Zelensky's suggestion the other day that Russia be expelled from the Security Council, well, that doesn't seem to be happening. A new Gallup poll found that 1 in 3 people say they've been affected by some kind of extreme weather over the past couple of years, and 78% of those believe the effects of climate change are already unfolding. You think? Earlier this week, the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change warned the world must make immediate transitions away from fossil fuels and toward renewable energy, like solar and wind, to limit the impact of the climate crisis. Otherwise, we're destined for more drought and heat. The oceans will continue to batter coastal communities, and extreme weather will become even more deadly than it already is. There is some good news, though. The U.S. recently hit a major renewable energy milestone. Wind power was the second highest source of electricity for the first time since the Energy Information Administration began collecting the data. But, you know, where there's good news, there's bad. And here's the bad. The 5 radical right members of the Supreme Court reinstated a Trump-era environmental rule that makes it harder for states to block projects that could pollute rivers and streams. Chief Justice John Roberts, ostensibly a member of the 6-justice conservative majority, joined the 3 so-called liberals on the court in calling the ruling an abuse of the court's emergency powers. Justice Elena Kagan, dissenting along with Roberts, Breyer, and Sotomayor, said the majority was turning the emergency or shadow docket into just another place to rule on cases, but, quote, without full briefing and argument. So the full House on Wednesday voted to hold Peter Navarro and Dan Scavino, aides to the former guy, in contempt for defying subpoenas from the January 6th committee. Navarro claimed executive privilege shields him from testifying. It doesn't. The committee's chair, Representative Benny Thompson, said Scavino and Navarro, quote, must be held accountable for the abuse of public trust and defiance of the law. And he added, they are in contempt of Congress, which is a crime. Committee members Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger were the only Republicans to vote with all the Democrats to send the prosecution recommendation to the Justice Department. Now, as I keep telling you, you may be done with COVID,
but the virus isn't done with you. Following the big gridiron dinner in D.C. last week, a slew of attendees have now tested positive. The list includes cabinet members, Attorney General Merrick Garland and Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, plus Representatives Adam Schiff and Joaquin Castro, about a half dozen journalists, and White House and National Security Council staffers. Just saying. Hey, that sweeping U.S. Postal Service reform bill that will overhaul the agency's finances and allow it to modernize its services was signed into law Wednesday by President Biden. The new law will require retired postal workers to enroll in Medicare when eligible and repeals that previous mandate that forced it to cover health care costs way up front and many, many years in advance. Those two measures alone would save the Postal Service nearly $50 billion over the next 10 years. The legislation, which received overwhelming bipartisan support, also requires the Postal Service to create an online public dashboard with local and national delivery and performance data. The changes are designed to help make the agency more financially sustainable because, unlike other government institutions, the Postal Service relies on revenue from deliveries and not taxpayer funding to support itself. Now, they just need to get rid of Louis DeJoy and fix the problem with his insisting on buying a fleet of new gas-powered vehicles instead of the electric vehicles we're supposedly transitioning to. Speaking of gas, oil executives defended themselves in a House hearing on Wednesday, saying their companies weren't responsible for the high gasoline prices. Really? So gas prices surged after Russia invaded Ukraine, and that sent crude oil prices soaring. Since then, though, crude prices have dropped by around 23%, but the price at the pump dropped just 4% from their March 11th record high. Representative Diana DeGette, who chairs the House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations, said gas prices are, quote, constraining our constituents' budgets and patience. Chevron's chief executive, Mike Wirth, said companies have little control over the market dynamics that determine fuel prices, and it takes time for competition at gas stations to bring prices down. Yeah, sure. Moving on. From the Florida Files, it's begun. Two books about transgender kids, including one from Broward resident Jazz Jennings, the book I Am Jazz, have been removed from Palm Beach County classrooms and libraries in response to that new Florida Don't Say Gay law. The book I Am Jazz tells the story of a transgender child based on the experience of Jazz Jennings. She socially transitioned in kindergarten and shares her journey through gender surgeries and societal challenges on a TV show that's now in its seventh season. Jennings is now 21 and a student at Harvard, and she said she's disappointed that her book has been targeted, saying, quote, schools should be encouraged to promote a diversity of views and inclusivity rather than closing students' minds at a young age. My book does that. Instead of banning it, it should be embraced. And this bears mentioning, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear vetoed a bill passed by the Republican-dominated legislature that would have banned transgender girls from participating in girls' sports. You go, Kentucky. And finally, the weekly job numbers are out, and new weekly claims for unemployment insurance fell to the lowest level since 1968. In the week ending April 2nd, the seasonally adjusted total of new claims for jobless benefits fell to 166,000. That's down 5,000 from the week before. Now, the Labor Department has released these numbers every week since January of 1967. The number of weeks with fewer new claims than last week? Just one. It was 162,000 the week of November 30th, 1968. Again, 166,000 last week. And keep in mind, the labor force is a lot bigger now than it was in 1968. So in proportional terms, the current number is even more remarkable. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. And please click on that donate button.